ready to go back to school? Does anybody want to go back to school? No? Are we all glad to be out of school? Well, it is that time of year where those who go to school, it's time for them to go back. And I was asking at the earlier service what some of our favorite subjects were in school. So I'm going to do the same here. Does anybody want to share what their favorite subject was in school? What? Biology. So you like to cut those little frogs open? Biology. What else did I hear?
History.
Math. Who said math? Math. Oh, wow. I have trouble with math. I'm not going to lie to you. Math was one of my scary subjects in school. What did you like? Music. If you didn't say music, I would have worried. But we all have that favorite subject that we had back in school. And we all had that excitement of going back to school, right? All right, I didn't see as many. My favorite part about going back to school was going back to school shopping. I don't know if you had that same experience that I had back in the 80s, but back to school shopping was like the best because you pick out special pencils, you pick out new crayons, aluminum lunchbox that would rust by the end of the year. But that was always my favorite part of going back to school. My grandson, I actually took my grandson back to school shopping the other day for shoes. I will tell you, it is not fun going back to school shopping for shoes with a 7-year-old. I should have taken my cats and got them shoes instead. I ended up leaving with 3 pair of shoes. I only went in for 1 pair of shoes, but he was very indecisive on the shoes that he wanted, the size that he wears, and what felt good and what did not feel good. I bought, oh, you had 3 boys. I thought he meant 3 pairs of shoes. So I bought him 3 pairs of shoes, sent him home with his mom, and said, "You figure it out. Next year we'll go for something different." I remember back when I first became a Christian, and I don't know how many of you had this same experience of being a Christian later in life, but I remember being excited about the Bible. Colleen was talking earlier about her daughter who purchased the Bible the other day. She was so excited about that Bible. You just can't put a price on that. Although Barnes & Noble tried at $89.99, but you can't put a price on the excitement of knowing God. And then there's the other stuff, the highlighters, the pens, the special pens just for Bible study, the post-it notes, the index cards. The Bible studies. The little bobblehead of Charles Spurgeon. All these things were sitting on my desk, but it did not make me a better studier or student of the Bible. What is important is the wisdom that we get. I can have the best school supplies to go back to school. My grandson could have gotten the best shoes that light up and play music, and he can play Pac-Man on them, but they're not going to make him a better student. The best way to be the best student is to know your subject, to bring it in and gain wisdom from it, to be nourished by it, to be excited from it. So today we are going to be spending some time in Proverbs. Proverbs was written mostly by what people say was the wisest man ever to walk the earth, Solomon, son of David. And even the word proverb, do you know what proverb means? I looked it up. This is the first time I've ever heard the word pithy used. A pithy statement to help learn. And it's interesting that there's proverbs all around the world. A fortune cookie might be considered a proverb. But I did find a couple that I like. There's a Chinese proverb that says, if you don't know how to smile, don't open a shop. I think they work at Walmart. There's a Japanese proverb that says, if you fall 7 times, you get up 8. I like that one. Here's the English one. The early bird gets the worm. I never agreed with that much. I was always more the second mouse gets the cheese. You're confused by that one? Okay, so the first mouse gets the cheese and... second mouse gets the cheese. All right, so today we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to learn a little bit more about going back to school, but in our Bibles. Because it's not just about the knowledge. It's about the wisdom. So we're going to start out in actually Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple verses here, but I want you to keep an eye out for action words. Words that are telling you to do something. And as we start out in chapter 2, it says, My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. So just in those two little verses, it says, my son, if you receive my words, if you not just read these words, but you receive them, you accept them. You make them a part of yourself. And treasure my commands within you. Treasure, love, cherish, be passionate about, treasure. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understand. I once heard, in reference to music, that you don't just hear the music, you feel it, you listen to it. If you're just hearing music, you're not getting the full experience. And that's what's happening here. This is what Solomon is trying to tell us about the Word of God. We need to treasure it, but we have to hear it. We have to understand it. We have to feel it. And we have to apply it to our hearts. And only through those steps will we truly gain wisdom. It goes on to say, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. So let's level with each other. Have you ever read the Bible and didn't understand a word you were reading? It happens to me all the time. So let me ask you this. If you read a random page and you don't understand it, what do? Go back and read it again? Go back and read it again? You get a Bible commentary? You're all good students of the Bible. A lot of the times, people just turn the page and keep going. Honestly, what Proverbs is saying is exactly what you are doing. It says, to cry out for discernment, lifting up your voice for understanding. You need to plead to the Lord for understanding of what you're reading. Because that's not always the case. That's not always the case. And it says that you should be passionate about learning. Are we passionate about learning our Bibles? All the time. Every day. Every hour of the day. See, I'm zoning in on you because you're there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care what baseball game's on. I'm reading my Bible. Football. Football season is coming. What Solomon is saying is we need to be passionate about our Bibles. Passionate that we want to learn what it means if we don't understand. I know that's hard to do sometimes. Especially, how do I want to word this? If you're trying to be a good Christian who reads your Bible every day, but you don't really feel like reading your Bible every day. I can honestly say, I'm honest with you, when I went through college, biblical studies, it became homework. I know I was asked, does going to Bible college help your understanding of the Bible? In a knowledgeable way, yes. In a wisdom way, in a passion way, there are some nights that you just want to be done. That's just me being honest. I wasn't approaching it the right way. I wasn't approaching that class because I was too worried about the grade. And when I graduated with a good grade point average, but it would have been better to leave with a better understanding of what God was trying to tell me. Because it's not about the knowledge, it's about the wisdom. Solomon goes on to say, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We spoke about that earlier. How many people do you know who are trying to get rich by buying lottery tickets? That's a big thing. And I understand I get the fever sometimes. If we're struggling to pay the bills and you see the Powerball is $14.12 zillion, you think about it. You think about it. You think about, wow, that would be great. And I watch the drawing. And I don't win. Why? Because I didn't buy a ticket. The Bible, the wisdom that comes from the Bible, is not a treasure handed to you. Some people might question that. You have to seek the wisdom from the Bible. Otherwise, it's just a book. Solomon says, if you seek her as silver, if you seek her as silver, the knowledge of God is a treasure. But you're not going to win that treasure through a lottery ticket. It says, search for her as for hidden treasure, and you will understand the fear of the Lord. finding treasure gives you a new excitement, appreciation, passion that you may have not felt before. Have you ever been doing the laundry and find $5 in the pants pocket? You are so excited about that $5. It's only $5. But when you find that $5, you're like, hey, I got something good here. Being a Christian, learning your Bible, is not a hobby. It's a lifestyle. If you treat it like a hobby, you're going to get bored and you're going to miss the point. I think back to many of my hobbies I've had over the years and the large boxes of stuff that lay untouched from the hobbies that I chose. Understanding the Bible should never be a hobby. It should be your life. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And he stores up wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints." Last week we had talked about different paths, like if you're standing in the middle of a path, you have to decide one way or another. Basically, there's two paths. There's the right path and there's the wrong path. There's a good path and an evil path. But only one of those paths leads to Jesus. We know that. And what this verse is saying, the Lord gives us wisdom from his words in the Bible so that we can become wise, so that we know which path to take. Because the Lord protects that path. The Lord walks down that path with you and guards you. And it says he guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. It goes on to say, "Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." In today's world, is it hard to understand right from wrong? Do you think our kids understand right from wrong? Why? Why do we feel like we know right from wrong more than, say, our kids or our grandkids? Because we gain our wisdom from the Bible. Kids are being deprived of that. Kids are going to go back to school tomorrow, if they're not back to school already, and learn about everything and nothing at the same time. They are going to learn what the education system deems necessary to get through life. But the Bible is life. The wisdom that we gain from the Bible will help them walk down the path of the righteous. We are not righteous. Only God is righteous. And again, only one path leads to him. We need to know right from wrong. We need to know what our next step should be when faced with the challenges of 2025. I'm going to jump to Ephesians 5 to build on this a little bit. Does knowing God make us wiser. Absolutely. There's a theologian by the name of Dr. Roy Zuck, and he says wisdom means being skillful and successful in one's relationships and responsibilities, but catch this, observing and following the Creator's principles of order in the moral universe. The wisdom of God affects our life in relationships, in responsibilities. It makes us whole. And it breaks it down into two things, because it's our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Again, we love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the effects of God's wisdom. This is why we have to learn this for a better community, for better families, for a better country, a better world. And here it is right in front of us. And the one big takeaway I have from Dr. Zuck's comments boils down to one three-letter word. It says, observing and following the Creator's principles of order in the moral universe. Why does that little three-letter word mean so much? Because he doesn't say in the order of a moral universe or one of the moral universes. He is saying there is one moral universe ruled by one God. There is no question to it. Do not question the Bible. But it is okay to have questions about the Bible. There's a difference. When you question the Bible, you're going down the wrong path. But if you have questions about the Bible, you are passionate about your learning. When I worked at Donegal, the hardest thing was for a kid to ask for help, even though they needed it. So many times I'd sit with someone who doesn't understand, whether it's a history lesson, a math lesson, and I say, why don't you ask for help? Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that people will think I'm dumb. Or worse, I don't care. I don't care if I know history. I don't care if I know math. I'm just trying to get through my day. So the questions of the Bible are important. Driving to church today, Colleen and I have a conversation. I'm like, you know this part in the Bible? Well, why does it say this? And how does that happen? You know? It's part of it. If you don't have questions, you don't learn. But if you question the Bible, you're walking down the wrong path. The problem is, some people think that knowledge and wisdom are the same thing. Absolutely not. There are many people that know the Bible, words memorized, but they use them as a weapon. That is not knowledge that we want. The devil quotes scripture. We've heard it. And so many times a person can take a passage from any one of these books, focus on that passage, and make it their weapon. Or try to elevate themselves up higher because I can read this, or I know this, or I know what this word means in Hebrew. And the unfortunate side of it is, that's not wisdom, that's knowledge. It's only when the two work together that it's truly effective in God's plan for us. We need to know what the Bible says, absolutely. But we also have to know the meaning behind it. And the only way to get that meaning is through our relationship with God. We can't do it on our own. We could be gaining knowledge, but we would not gain that wisdom. And how do we know this? Because Jesus himself mentions this. We all know Jesus, when he walked the earth, he had so many problems with who? The religious leaders, who knew all the stuff, but didn't understand who he was. There were times when the Pharisees and the Sadducees would question Jesus and search for answers. And when Jesus would answer them, they wouldn't agree with him. This is Jesus. In Matthew 22:29, there was when they were asking about the resurrection, they had no clue. And he said to them, he said, "You are mistaken, not knowing Scripture or the power of God." You see, those two things go together. Scripture without the power of God is just words. But Scripture with the power of God is wisdom and understanding and the light on our path. There was another time when he said to his followers, "You are mistaken." Oh, sorry. In John 5:39, it says, "You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life." His followers were looking for eternal life through the Scriptures. He goes on to say, "And these are they which testify to me." Whereas people are looking for salvation in the Bible, they need to be looking to Jesus. Jesus is Scripture. Jesus is the way. Is that what we're doing? Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to put your Bible on a shelf and not read it. We need to know this, but we need to experience it. To choose wisely is to open this book, read it, pray about it. Know what it is telling you. Because quite honestly, we're all different learners. If that's the right way to say that. We all learn differently. We all have different paths that God is trying to set us on. So whereas Ephesians 5 might talk to me, 1 Kings 4 might talk to you. That's why it's important to know all aspects of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Some people think they just have to read the Gospels. That's not the case. We need to know beginning to end, because this is the story of our Creator and why we were created. If you are walking away from that, your life is going to be full of stress. Your life might be full of stress anyway. But when you're walking with Jesus, it's tolerable to the point of making it. Life can be tough. But with Jesus, you have his safety. With Jesus, you have the understanding of tomorrow. And more importantly, you have the understanding of eternity. So many of us can't see past tomorrow. But the purpose of wisdom is to get us through eternity. I want to jump to one final verse. I'm going to jump the whole way back to the book of Psalms, book 1, verse 1. The title on this page, it says, The Way to Righteousness. So the book of Psalms starts right out of the gate. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. I love this part of it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can you see that tree planted by the rivers? And that is going to be a beautiful tree, full of life, full of resources that it needs to grow. It even goes on and says, this tree brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's where you want to be. And the important thing is, because I hear this a lot when talking to people about giving their life to Christ, they say, well, I like who I am. I don't want it to change my life. I don't want to give up the things I like to do. That's a problem. That is a problem. Because people have the wrong idea. God created us with imagination. He created us to be inquisitive, to ask the questions that we want to ask, and self-aware. We are not being changed into something that we aren't already created to be. When we learn God's word, we become a better person. It takes us away from some of the ungodly things. It takes us away from places that we think we want to be, because we don't know. We're living foolishly. We're not living in the wisdom of God. God has created us to be our best self, for us to think clearly, for us to, yes, face challenges, have emotions, pain, happiness, joy, and love. The greatest thing that we can take away from wisdom is love. It changes your heart. Sometimes it will break it temporarily, but it will also mend it. For when we face challenges, when we're walking down the path with Jesus and recognize him, we come out better. You're not going to lose yourself. You're going to lose your sinful self, and you're going to be okay. You're gonna be a person you were created to be. Let's pray.